Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2K, a mile below Pluto at Interdimensional Planet Studios. We electrocute your Julius Maximus by warming your mind meld with reflective hater block arrays. This heats your fiend bone to a Campion roasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of sadism out of your vibes, man. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working? Jim Babb and Michael W. Dean.
Yeah, I feel it.
Feel it.
I feel like
fiend bone.
I'm using a new version of Fiend Phone. It's Fiend Phone 4.0. It's not out yet. It's got time travel. I'm coming from the future via Fiend Phone to tell you about the not too distant future where the biggest pop star in the world is Sangeeta. It's really cool, man.
So we've never even heard of this Fiend Phone.
Yeah, and she won the LibPair 2000, which is kind of like the Grammy Award in LibPair. And yeah, so there you go.
And
what
she can be beamed
song?
In as like a hologram to do shows where that's banned by police.
Yeah, and and we melted down Rahm Emanuel's soul to make the thing that she stands on while she sings.
It sounds a little flimsy.
She's in carbonite. She's in carbonite.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of sounding good, I'm only on for one segment to test this new mic. I think I found a newer, cheaper, maybe even better Fiend mic. I found this mic that's a Samson Q2U. The Fiend mic that everyone uses is like $70. This mic is $45 and comes with headphones. So this may be the thing. I'm checking it out. I'm suffering for everybody else to try it out to see if it'll work. And I will blog post it.
I love a competitive marketplace for electronics.
I'm competing with myself at this point. It's good.
I love to see these mic vendors battle it out. I mean, wasn't that long ago that mics were really expensive? And
really expensive. Yeah, I mean, really, when I was, I played in bands and, like, you know, you couldn't record unless you had a few $1,000. I mean, even for a cheap recording, like to go in for like a day, you know, it was like $1,000 for the time and the tape and the engineer. And then you had to press vinyl and get it mastered and press vinyl. And I was in studios that were like, you know, 24 track and 16 track and 8 track with really expensive gear, and the mics were so expensive. And thanks to slave labor in China and globalization, mics have gotten really good and really cheap.
Worms.
Yeah, man. That's all I ever wanted was to like have a recording studio in my home. Seriously, like, I'm 51. Since I was like 14, all I ever wanted, like, before I ever set foot in a recording studio, I would read about like Pink Floyd having a home studio, and I was like, Todd Rundgren had a home studio, and I was like, I wanted to have a home studio and like make media at home. That's all I wanted to do, and finally I'm doing it, man. It's cool. I dig it.
Now the home studio is going to be like on your tablet, though. It doesn't even have to be a home studio. It's just a with you all the time studio.
It'll be a portable studio.
Mic. You still need a good mic and Fiend Phone.
That's true. It's getting easier and easier.
I want Fiend Phone to work on like one of those Apple Watches or something like that.
Well, could an Apple Watch emulate? Because you're running Fiend Phone on Apple, right? Like emulated in an emulator.
Yeah,
I mean, technically, those watches should have enough processing power to do that, right?
I don't know.
Not,
you know.
Probably not.
How would I know? I mean,
there's only one way to test it.
You'd have to endure the stigma of an Apple Watch, first of all.
I know. So dorky. All it is is like, isn't it basically just a wrist screen to like hook up to the iPhone in your pocket? Over BlackBerry or Blueberry or Bluetooth.
And it's not even as cool as like Dick Tracy, you know.
I like the Dick Tracy watch.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any secret compartments or anything.
No, but you know what does have a secret compartment to hold your weed? Is a Glock. The handle of every Glock pistol is hollow, and you can actually buy little plugs. Just Google Glock grip plug, and you can buy these plugs to go in there.
Nice.
And even though a lot of cops carry Glocks, a lot of cops, if they see the plug in there, like, they don't think, oh, that's not supposed to be there, and they won't look necessarily. So, you know, people could have their guns and their weed, and maybe they could have their Glock, like, maybe the fifth generation or sixth generation Glocks will accept Fiend Phone over an Apple Watch or something.
Wow. Well, you know, cops could carry their weed, too, since they carry Glocks a lot of times.
Yeah, cops don't need to carry weed. They just bust somebody and take their weed when they want to get high.
Right.
Well,
you
know what I think?
They could hide it in the compartment.
Maybe it's easier to hide your Glock in the weed than to hide the weed in the Glock, depending on how
well,
much you
Well, it depends on the the laws in your country. You might be better off, like,
that's
you know,
true.
smuggling guns in weed instead of
Well,
weed
it depends
and
on
guns.
The state, really, you know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Guns and weed.
Somebody should make a documentary about that. I don't know.
If only someone could combine the two concepts and...
Gunsandweed.com. Check it out, people.
You know, that is the first thing I ever heard about you, Michael, was it about that documentary. And I was like, that's, you know, I found that very interesting because for years I've been trying to sort of bridge the gap between those two groups. The, you know, all these, like, hippies that are trying to legalize weed, and then all these Second Amendment people that are trying to, you know, legalize self-defense. And I'm like, guys, hey, it's all about self-ownership, right? Like, can we all, like, let's all work together on this. And like, no.
I know. They don't want to. They don't want to, man.
They don't want to hide their weed in their Glocks.
Most
and they're
of them
missing
don't
out.
Wanna.
Or hide their Glocks in their weed, right?
Or their Glocks in their weed.
Have your kids seen that, Jim? Is that part of your unschooling?
I think I've been a bad parent because I don't think they've actually seen that. So they're always looking for new movies to watch. So
I like that picture you sent
us. It's pretty age appropriate.
What was that picture you sent us? What was the caption? Destroying national parks. It was like you and your daughter pushing a giant boulder.
Yeah, there's a that's
maybe I'll use that
a glacial
for the
erratic night. On the top of this cliff. It's like hanging over the edge of a cliff. This massive boulder, and every year we try to push it over the edge, try to like crush a transit bus down below if we can. And I don't
wow, you're bad.
Transit bus, oddly specific. With
I know
we've been well. We're here in Maine near
planning
and there's
it
a
out.
The national park is Acadia National Park. It's very popular. Okay. We've incorporated a new activity, though. We started this last year where, we bought the annual pass, okay, just so we can go in. But there's this one, the whole park has one checkpoint that you go through. And so I went to, last year I went to show my pass, you know, I just kind of like wave it and, you know, intend to drive on. They're like, no, you have to stop and show ID. I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, you have to show ID now. And, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't do that. You know, and they're like, well, our policy is you have to show ID. And I go, well, it's my policy that I don't. So we had this little conversation, you know, and then, you know, we just said, and then like, well, okay. And we go on our way. And the kids really love that. So they're like, okay, let's do that again.
Yeah, nice.
So now we, you know, they're like, come on, let's run the checkpoint again. Let's do the check. You know, it's like, now it's like a regular awesome activity where we get to go through and refuse to show ID and hear these, like, just look at the puzzled look on these park rangers' face.
Oh,
and then they're
God,
just like, well, whatever, you know.
Public school teaches kids how to file for benefits. James's unschooling teaches kids how to defy the government.
I want to go on
like
that
really,
family
it's this
vacation.
Big defiance thing. Like we've already paid for the annual pass, right? Which, you know, it's not like we're like opting out of everything and we're
Wally
just going
to,
you know. So
you're not like
homestead,
screaming, am I being detained at these people or anything?
Right.
Oh, you should.
We just homestead little bits of the park that we're using at any given time.
I want a family vacation with the Babs. This sounds like fun.
I know.
Oh.
So, James, when last year at Porkfest, you rode up to me. I had no idea who you were. And you were like, hey, Michael Dean, come over to the Babs compound and have a beer. And you seemed really like happy to meet me. Why? Was it because of the movie? I didn't know who you were.
It was Guns and Weed, yeah. And, you know, I had exploited your talents. I guess that was, yeah, like right before you were kind enough to do a Skype.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A Skype Q&A for some libertarians.
Libertarian parties.
In Pennsylvania, and you know, and I realized that was, you know, that was an investment of your time with very little little reward on your end. So I was grateful for that.
And I knew just, your name. I just didn't make the connection of this guy driving up in the car.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's kind of what Porkfest is all about. It's like meeting people, talking about, like, oh, that's right. We've had, like, conversations on Facebook for 5 years.
It's the Kickspit Music Festival, or the Jimmy Russellin Festival.
Jimmy Russellin.
That's coming up. We're doing it. All MC'd right. with a holographic Chris Cantwell.
Oh, wow. Now, would that be banned? That'd be interesting.
There's only one way to find out, right?
Or how about would it bring up questions about the non-aggression principle if we had a very realistic hologram of Chris Cantwell and we tortured it to death in front of people at Porkfest?
It's not a violation of the NAP. Yeah. It's just a hologram.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's symbolic.
Kirsten Tynan has introduced a different principle. It's called the slightly less aggression principle. Have you heard of this? It's instead of the nap,
this is
the slap principle. And if you feel the nap is just a little too restrictive and you just need to slap somebody, you switch to the slap principle.
Huh. So, I'm okay with this.
I guess I'm okay with that because Davi and I have come up with the concept of that the Freedom Fiends, specifically only Davi and I, are allowed to issue libertarian indulgences, which ahead of time, like if somebody has a need to violate the non-aggression principle for a good purpose, once Davi or I can issue the indulgence for it.
Right. Well, you know, I could have used those because I had to punch a demo. Okay, I had to punch him. I'm like,
who hasn't had to punch a demo? Come on, he's a great guy, but you know,
he's got a very punchable face.
Yeah.
I had to punch him because
he begs to be punched.
He, you know, because he released, you know, nude photos of a friend of mine in a very, you know, it's like totally no class move, you know, like
super trashy. Really,
just totally trash. I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Good on you, man.
Just need a good punch.
That's true.
Or we could have a Kickstarter to hire someone who doesn't believe the non-aggression principle to slap people like when it's needed.
Like a Shabbos goy. You know, the Shabbos goy that turns off the lights in the synagogue.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends, we are back, and I'm here with Jim Babb, and this is MK Lords. So, Jim, did you know that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink?
I did know that. And I think everyone knows that by now, I hope. But if they didn't,
I would hope
now
so.
They do.
Yes, and it turns out, so there's this petition that was filed calling for NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden to be immediately issued a full, free, and absolute pardon. And can you guess what the White House said about that?
Well, first, let's say what he should have done. In fact, he should have just offered to personally host a big party for Ed Snowden and a parade for a real hero of our time, Ed Snowden. You know, put himself in incredible danger to bring a lot of truth out and to let people know what was going on with the government spying on everybody. Right? This is huge.
Right. This is something everyone should care about.
But I'm guessing the president said if he was forced to say anything at all, he'd just say, no.
That's pretty much what he said. So, the news came out today on The Intercept where they're pretty much like, nope, we live in a dangerous world and terrorism and bad guys and Snowden did bad stuff. And yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. They're saying, oh, he needed to do the right thing by coming back and facing a fair trial, because people really get fair trials here.
Oh, yeah.
So
right. Just ask Ross Ulbricht about the fair trial he got for running a website.
Yeah, or Chelsea Manning for doing a very similar thing to Edward Snowden. And, you know, I am glad that Snowden has not been caught yet. I mean, for now, at least, he's fought the law and he mostly won. So, but yeah, but I hope he evades them forever. I mean, there have been some crazy things said about him. I mean, there's senators calling for, you know, calling for him to be kidnapped and killed. And I mean, you know, he already faces detainment, I'm sure, but do we really trust the government not to torture him or something horrible like this? I mean, look at what they put Chelsea Manning through.
Right. No, there's no way. There's no way he would ever intentionally get caught. And I don't even think they're going to spend a lot of time trying to catch him, because if they were, I mean, if it would be a headline if he was caught and brought in, right? And suddenly we'd all have to talk about the NSA again. We'd all have to remember why, right? Like, right now, they just deploy some of these little guys to be like, oh, he was irresponsible. That was very dangerous, and we need secrets. And this is very vague talk, right? It's very, we're not going to say anything too specific about what he did. But if he were to come here and stand trial, oh, my God, there'd be, you know, it would be huge. So I think they're, it's best for them
strategy,
to just try to, you know, maybe just, you know, keep it quiet for a while, not really worry about it. I don't know if he has any additional, like, mega secrets to be released or anything that's going to be too groundbreaking now. I don't know. Does he?
Yeah, there's still quite a bit to be released from what I understand. And they're just waiting, I guess, for the right time to do that. So they're wanting to release it piece by piece and kind of, I guess, build up interest in it or build up anticipation. And so I wonder when the next dump is coming, basically. I'm really curious. I mean, I think the first few revealed a lot of stuff that people who've been paying attention kind of have known for a while, or at least suspected on some level. But it's all out there in the open now. I mean, it's, you know, the NSA has been spying on everyone and collecting a lot more information about you than you probably thought. So pretty serious stuff, and he's definitely not a traitor for revealing this information. You're totally right when you said he was a hero.
You know, the funny thing is that, I mean, Obama really could have played it right from the beginning with sort of a pardon and be like, oh, we're so glad that he helped uncover this. We're really going to get to the bottom of this wrongdoing with a commission or something, right? Like, they still could have gone on with all the spying.
Right. Well, I mean, that was kind of his platform anyway. He's like, oh, we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to close down Gitmo. I'm going to stop the wars and all of this stuff. And then he just was like, okay, not really. You know, it never really happened. So, yeah, you're right. He could have done the same thing.
But, you know, I guess if he didn't feel the need to, because his base don't care. They don't care what he does. They don't care that he hasn't closed Gitmo. They don't care how many countries he bombs, how many wedding parties he drones. They don't care about it. You know, they're like, well, he's our president. You got to support him.
Yep. Our stinky-footed president.
Idiotic.
Idiotic. And but we will be back in just a little bit after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Oh, man. Too busy talking to do talk radio. that Snowden petition got turned down, but what are petitions good for?
Well, you know, I get a big kick out of this White House petition website. You know, like you were just telling me about some really funny petitions, and
yes.
First of all, the fact that this website even exists is really just a kind of a sign of the times. And they're like, look, we really want to get people involved, and they know voting's a joke. How about a website where they can fill up petitions? And we'll call it We the People, Your Voice in Our Government, they call it. You know, it's like,
I always felt lame signing petitions, like, yeah, in college just and stuff.
What were some of those funny ones that you found?
Oh, these are great. So this is an article on The Week. It was secure resources and funding and begin construction of a Death Star by 2016. So a platform and weapon system, the Death Star, 1,428 signatures. This is great.
I bet they said, no thanks, we already have one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was the official response. Oh, I like this one. Nationalize the Twinkie industry. We, the undersigned, hereby request Barack Obama to immediately nationalize the Twinkie industry and prevent our nation from losing her sweet, creamy center.
Hmm.
Almost 4,000 signatures.
How did that one play out?
I don't think that one. I think they thumbs down that one, too. So see, close. You know. Oh, but I think this is my favorite one, though. Okay. This has got to be my favorite one. Establish new legal system of motorcycle riding judges who serve as police, judge, jury, and executioner all in one.
Yeah. And well, for fans of small government, they should embrace that one, because that's going to make the justice system so much more efficient. Think of all the money that the government could save.
It's a very bloated justice system, and you know, this would cut back on that. You'd save a lot of money. And,
think of all the additional justice that could be inflicted upon people. I mean, bestowed upon people.
It'd be amazing. I'm okay with this. I'm totally okay with this.
Was it that one to get our incandescent light bulbs back, or something sad like that?
Yeah, give us back. Oh, this is so, like, begging. Give us back our incandescent light bulbs. It says, I love the summary. In the spirit of liberty and freedom, we believe that decisions such as what kind of light bulb we use should not be made by the government, but by the individual.
And so we're groveling on a government website to get our, in the spirit of freedom.
1,358 libertarians care a lot about this petition.
Right. Well, and for those that want to sign it, visit groveling.gov, and you can participate in the process, too. Embarrassing.
Man. I don't know. Have you ever made a petition? Like, have you ever, like, tried to make one and gotten people to sign it?
Yes, I made one. Because I had gotten this one of these change.org petitions, and it was for student loan forgiveness. Okay, we want to have student loan forgiveness, and I was like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that. I mean, if you're, that's nice and socialist and everything. But so what I did is I copied it and I changed the wording slightly to be boat loan forgiveness. A petition to just forgive everybody's boat loans. And I thought, you know what, that's just as legitimate as a student loan forgiveness, right? Like, so
sure.
I think I got possibly several signatures on my petition. I don't think it really went anywhere, though.
Well, you tried, so.
Would you sign a petition to forgive boat loans? All boat loans.
All boat loans?
It's crushing debt. It's crushing.
I could be talked into it.
Yeah. I mean, think of the way that would stimulate the economy, right? Like, suddenly everybody's boat loan is forgiven. Woo.
Oh, wow. Great. That's funny. There's this other on this list, too. There's a petition to provide university graduates the ability to trade their diplomas back for 100% tuition refunds.
Ooh, money back guarantee. Now that's something you find in the free market, but I don't know about this weird education cartel. I have my women's studies degree. Yeah, it turns out my women's studies degree hasn't, you know, advanced or...
Not a lot of market value for that one.
You know, Russian literature. Or I'm sure, you know, not that these aren't great fields and everything, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, James Joyce studies. Actually, one of the professors I was taking an English class under, that was like her specialty. Like, it was a special degree, like specifically studying James Joyce's work. And the entire class was James Joyce books, which is all right. Like, I like James Joyce at the beginning of the course. And I got tired of him really fast.
Doesn't he have a book that's all one run-on sentence? Just the whole book is
Yeah, Finnegan's Wake. Oh, it's great.
I'm not going to read that. No.
Well, it starts on the last page. You have to, I believe, or something like that. You have to, like, start, or no, the last sentence leads into the first sentence. And it's totally just surreal. I think he was just trolling everyone. And yeah, what he's done is
he's
just
like
drive,
trolling,
like,
these literary people that are getting all serious about understanding what he did, and he's just laughing.
It's a troll until you have to write, like, you know, a 20-page paper on Finnegan's Wake or something like that, or some, like, long dissertation about the meaninglessness of it. But no, it's funny. Yeah, it's a funny book.
I had a girlfriend who was studying that, and she was really into it. I'm like, just no, not for me.
I have it around here somewhere. Oh man, it's far away. I would read from it, but look it up. It's weird. It's funky.
Well, you know what? We could do the whole next segment as one long run-on sentence, and we'll call it Finnegan's Wake. And we will end the segment by blending right back into the beginning of the segment, and it could be edited in such a way that you'll never know what the beginning is.
Oh, wow.
Just loops.
All right. Finnegan's Wake. This needs to happen. This needs to be a whole episode, I think. Oh, man. Oh, this could be good. This is happening. This has to happen.
Yeah, why not?
You can't stop the Finnegan's Wake.
So, you know, we were talking about national parks earlier, and... I wanted to talk about national parks with you because I sort of have this theory about national parks as they're possibly the most insidious, like horrible federal program that exists. Okay, and I realize that's kind of an extreme position when you think about the droning, the Federal Reserve, the federal
everyone
drug
loves
war.
Parks.
What's that?
Everyone loves parks.
Right, and see, and that's why. See, that's why it's so dangerous, because they push it out there to make everybody feel good, like, oh, look, we got park rangers, you know, and they're not reflexively killing people, okay? Like,
right, reflexively, yes.
Right, so
they're sometimes helping people.
People go to these wild areas, okay, where there's national parks. Of course, the government had nothing to do with it being so beautiful. Right, they just put up a toll booth.
and said, right.
You know, and said it's ours now.
Built a fence. You know.
Did you have you heard the story about Shenandoah National Park?
I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, this was I think it was around 1933. I forget. It was a while ago. But they used eminent domain, basically, this is in Virginia, to just evict like 450 families that were living in this territory.
Wow.
And they're like, you know, we want this to be a park, a little playground in the backyard of some politicians. So you guys are out. They literally burned people's homes so they wouldn't return.
Wow.
I mean, it was horrible, horrible, horrible. People got virtually nothing, lives destroyed, whole communities decimated, and it's largely forgotten. you know. But I think about it. I've been to that park, and I think about those people, those victims, when I go there, and it's just really sad. So, you know, not only does this institution sort of put this glossy, friendly coat on the federal government, but you get right under the surface, and it's still one of these evil, evil theft programs. So
they're all about
if somebody says, "Hey, if you could abolish any program, which would it be?" I might pick that one, right? I might pick it because it really makes people sort of believe in all the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even
that's
going
my theory.
Back further than that, too, you know, with the indigenous people who are here now, I mean, a lot of them were, you know, probably on what's now known as, it's national parks, or it's, you know, a wildlife preserve or whatever. I mean, this is something they've been doing this for quite a while. I didn't realize that was the origins of the Shenandoah Park, though. That's crazy.
Well, it's not in the brochure. You know, when you get there, they hand you your little map, and they'll be like,
you
can take the tour of the burned out homes and the grave and the mass grave.
P.S. We burned a bunch of houses down and moved out like 450 people. No big deal.
Enjoy.
Look, there's some wild animals over there. Just look at the animals. You know, don't think about it.
But you know, and national parks are kind of weird too, because it is federally occupied territory, right? You're subjected to whatever rules they've got. And in Philadelphia last year, when there was smoke down prohibition demonstrations were going on, these people could get really violent, and they would beat up banjo players or...
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, they can be very nasty.
No good, dirty government.
When we come back, remind me, I'll tell you a story about a ranger with his Homeland
You're
Security
listening
training.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
So you had a story. We were talking about parks in the last segment and the eminent domain origins of some of these parks, and you had a story about a park ranger,
this was last summer. I'm at this place called Hunter's Beach, and it's a remote sort of pebbled beach. You walk down this maybe 15 minute path, and it's very isolated. You might see two or three other people there when you go down there. It's very kind of out of the way. It's not one of the big tourist attractions, but it's very pleasant, very nice. And I was there with my family, and we're kind of just spread out. They're like, you know, picking through the beach, looking for glass and stuff. And I'm sort of by myself taking pictures of the ocean and the surrounding coastline. It's very pretty. And this park employee, just like, I see him coming, and he just like walks right towards me. And he's not like the Smokey Bear style park ranger, you know, This guy was armed. Okay, he's fully armed. Like this is a cop. Okay, and he comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and I'm like, and I don't want to engage him, but I just kind of like nod my head at him just to acknowledge that he's a person and he's there. But I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm just like, "Hey, you know." And he goes, "You know, nice day, isn't it?" You know, I'm like, you know, just kind of smile. And he's like, "Is something wrong?" You know, because now he's figuring out that I'm not talking, right? I said, "Hey, it's nothing personal. I just, you know, I don't want to talk to you." You know, what? Now he's intrigued.
Oh, God.
And
I don't.
I'm picturing this as part of his, like, Homeland Security training. You know, and they tell him, "Now get out there, let him see your gun, let him know you're there." You know, you don't know. Yeah, it could be Al Qaeda, could be, you don't know. Like,
so, you gotta be worried about you. You're nothing but trouble, Jim.
Yeah, here's a guy in shorts and a t-shirt with a camera on a beach. Uh-oh, you know, can't be too careful. So finally, we have this conversation. So we kind of start this conversation, and he's like, why don't you want to talk to me? I'm like, well, just, you know, I've had some bad experiences with park rangers in Philadelphia, and they beat up some of my friends, and I'm not really cool, you know. He's like, well, maybe in the city, yeah, some kind of free, you know. And he wants to have this conversation. I'm like, He's like, well, what's your problem? What, you know what? I said, well, you know, since you asked, you know, I really, you know, I said, well, what do you think should happen to somebody that didn't want to pay your salary? You know, he's like, what? Yeah, like, well, like, what if I didn't want to pay for your salary? What do you think should happen to me? Well, you know, I don't care if you know, I'm like, yeah, it's taxes. What happens to people that don't pay their taxes? Well, that's taxes. That's the law. No, this, we're talking about you. What if I don't want to pay your salary? I said, do you have any skills that people might pay for voluntarily? At this point, he goes, hey, if you're going to make this personal, I'm out of here. And then he left. I'm like, okay. Later, Mr.
That's kind of like the opposite of the, like, Stefan Molyneux, would you do this against me kind of argument, but instead you just kind of, like, reverse it. It's like, yeah, but what if I don't want to pay you, like, just make him really uncomfortable. I love that, actually.
He left. Yeah,
just, I mean, because I bet they don't even think of it that way. The thing is, like, most people don't even think of it that way. Like, it you know, gets their mind going. Like, yeah, you know, where does my salary come from? I don't know. I'm sure people are gonna get super offended by it, but no, I mean, like, people don't even question it. So yeah, well,
and he probably
kind of
walks around, and I bet your people are smiling at him and thanking him because the park is so
ranger?
Pretty, and you know they want to be helpful, and they probably, you know, would be flattered that he came over and this authority figure came over and talked to little old me, right? Like, I don't have time for any
little
of that.
Little do they all know, it's built on the incinerated homes. Or
exactly.
Shenandoahans.
The mass graves of Acadia National Park. It's
oh man. That got dark.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be bringing it a little brighter on hour two coming up of the Freedom Beans. Just a little bit.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So that means anybody can use the Freedom Fiends, but not park rangers. Sorry.
That's right.
It's not for you.
You keep your filthy park ranger hands away from from Freedom Fiends.
Right
from
on.
From Fiend Phone.
So, anyway, MK, you sent me a very interesting list of six news stories everybody needs to stop sharing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I thought these were pretty good, and I wanted to ask you to maybe highlight some of these, and I thought we could maybe make up some of our own categories of stuff that really just needs to stop getting shared on Facebook. What do you think?
Absolutely. So this is a cool article. It's on cracked.com, which has these cool little listicles that are pretty humorous and educational at the same time. And it's called, yeah, six news stories everyone needs to stop sharing on Facebook. And number six is hate clicks and shock opinion articles aren't news. And so people have probably heard of, you know, the internet outrage machine, or the, you know, it's really easy to write a really ignorant article or blog post and give it a really incendiary title. And the internet's been doing this forever, and it gets people all riled up. And I mean, the people have been doing this on television. I mean, think of things like Jerry Springer and stuff like that. But, you know, it's made to trigger you. It's literally made to get you all riled up about something that's usually pretty stupid. So,
yeah, give us an example. Like,
so here's a headline, from, oh yeah, it's a New York Post headline. It's called "Women Are Not Capable of Understanding Goodfellas." And,
just to make people mad. Make people go, just women can understand that. I know they can. I better click on that and go, ooh, I'm going to go click on that. Right? Is that what they're thinking?
Yeah. So it gets people all angry. But what's even better is it results in a bunch of rebuttals that were completely unnecessary in the first place. And if you're smart, you do what Thought Catalog does, and you have a platform that shows both, you know, the original ridiculous article and the ridiculous rebuttal. So they list some headlines, like one of them is Asian women need to stop dating white men. And then, like, on the same site, another article rebutting that, saying white men dating Asian women isn't the problem, your racism is. And then in parentheses, plus tips on how to cure yourself. God, that's the longest title ever. Like, first of all, horrible title. But the rebuttal titles are always worse than the original, like, you know, rage-inducing one, right? Because it's a rebuttal, so you gotta, like, frame it, you know, slightly. But that's just long. That's just bad. So,
must be something about the internet, though, that, you know, that people have figured out, like, well, how do we make people click? Let's just get them, just be outrageous, right? So it's just annoying. And you know what? If people stop falling for it, they'll stop shoving this stuff in our face.
Right. Like, these are designed to get clicks for these sites. And don't click it. Don't share it. It's meant to rile you up. And sometimes these people aren't even serious. You know, they're just trying to get attention. So next on the list... Oh, I love this one. Teens doing stupid things aren't news, or you know, crazes or games or challenges, things like that. So sometimes you'll hear these. I see parents sharing a lot of this stuff a lot. It's like, oh, these teens, they're crazy these days. Like they were never like this in my day. And this is, you know, they're doing these crazy things. They're you know, these social media crazes. They're they reference this one, the Game of 72, terrifying Facebook craze sees teens disappear for 3 days without trace. And a lot of times it's a cherry-picked story. It's a story about, like, one teen did something stupid because, hey, guess what? You're going to make some mistakes as a teenager. So need to, like, make a news story out of it and, you know, try to make it into some kind of, like it's this trend that all these kids are doing. It's a craze.
Right, I guess if you're, like, I'm thinking this is targeted at like grandparents. Okay.
Yeah.
People that are like kind of like just barely on the internet, and they're thinking like, oh my God, I hope that does. I hope my grandchild is not going to disappear for 3 days as part of this. I better call them right now and warn them about this. You know, or
right,
that's what
right.
My mom would do. My mom would see that headline and she'd get scared, and then she would make sure I knew about it, and you know, so I could be ready. You know.
Yeah, and what's weird about this is corporations will do this as a marketing tool. They'll make fake crazes to scare people. This is actually done on for a recent film. It was this corporation that created this idea of this fake demon summoning craze, and all it was just a film marketing campaign. So you really have to, like, when you come across these things, it is clever, because people are like, oh, these kids are summoning demons, and oh, kids these days, or whatever. But
sharks.
They're not crazy.
It's sharks.
Like, yeah, this idea that like one incident of, you know, one kid or group of kids doing one thing that doesn't, you know, make a trend. So read between the lines. Be smart. This one too. Oh gosh, these articles. So number four is personal anecdotes turned into broad social issues. Aren't news. So this is someone who like gets, maybe you have a bad dealing with a business or some random person, and then you're gonna whine about it on the internet and turn it into like some, you know, try to make it some part of some social cause or something.
Right, this is what's wrong with our society, you know.
Yeah, I had this bad experience, therefore, like sexism or racism or whatever. Again, like isolated incidents that people just blow way out of proportion. And I guess some people have a platform. I mean, you know, this is, again, look at the sites that these things tend to be on. They tend to be on like Gawker Media sites and, I mean, Thought Catalog. And, you know, again, trying to rally you up about something and generate the rebuttals to it also. So kind of similar to the other one. So.
I guess it worked, so they wouldn't do it again. So we'll just ignore those.
Yeah, just don't click. Or, you know, if you're gonna like get angry about it, there's this really cool service called Do Not Link, and it's like donotlink.com, and you can just throw the story in there if you just have to share it for whatever reason. So
interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you do not link an unviz.it slash, you can put that in front of URLs, and that'll, you know, delete any views that you know, it won't register as a view on that page. So if there are any, you know, bloggers that you
may
not like.
We're not saying Chris Cantwell.
I'm pretty sure we're not allowed to cuss on air, Jim. Where's the cuss stump? I don't have that power.
Well, you know,
speaking of embarrassing things, number three is random people's embarrassing small town crimes aren't news. So, like, yeah, random people who might pull guns on other people.
Well, but wait a minute. Randomly. Hold on a second. You're in Florida, right? Wouldn't this preclude all the Florida man stories?
So this is like the double-edged sword, right? This is the Florida man Twitter. Like, this is all the amusing thing about Florida.
I
is
love
like
those.
An embarrassing
small
time.
I don't want
time.
Those banned. I like that. I like that stuff. And it's,
well,
you know,
it's out of like an embarrassment of like shaming people. The point of this one is like, hey, it's not nice, you know, but like sometimes, like if they're adults, like I think it's pretty funny. Like I wouldn't want to shame like teenagers doing stupid things.
No,
but
it's
like,
usually like some weird hobo in a compromising position with a farm animal, like in Walmart or something. Like,
right.
But, like really. So
those are amusing. Those are amusing. But like it's they were using this one is more like making a point about like mean spiritedness, you know, like just and trying to like like use, you know, like teenagers doing stupid things again, or like just very, God, so I can't read these headlines on air in this section. Okay, no, I can read this one. I get this one's funny. Can you be DUI in a sleigh? Santa and his assistant come to grief after crashing into a wall during drunken sled ride through town. That's pretty funny.
It happens. Now, are you saying are like you complete... wouldn't want that story in your feed? I want that story in my feed.
I'm okay with some of these stories in my feed. Like, yeah, I'm not like, okay, like... Yeah, if it's an adult, it's okay. I'll make that distinction. I'm not for, like, shaming teens who might be doing stupid things, but yeah, I mean, well, they actually use the example of that Rachel Dolezal woman who, the NAACP president that...
And I just had to see that was actually again reading this article.
You did.
Like,
you did.
Did I have to see her face one more time? Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah. But they kind of make a good point with it, though. They said that, like, it's a totally weird thing. It's one of those very weird stories. But she didn't, like, really commit any crime. She was dishonest, but she didn't commit any crimes. She sounds like she had a bad, you know, weird family upbringing or something. And I don't know, though. But
she's just another scammer, you know, who's
she's another who's scammer profiting
from the whole, like, race baiting industry, right? That's all.
Yeah, that's a bizarre story there. Bizarre.
Ridiculous. I was so glad to see that disappear from my feed. So, later.
Right. It's like, why? I don't care.
Number two in this list, I totally agree with. Teen shaming parents aren't news. Like,
yes.
I punished my kid. I ran over their laptop with a lawnmower. Or I made my kid do this. Like, that's all. It's all terrible, terrible parenting, and you see everybody applauds.
Yeah, like it's not cool. Like when your parent tells you they're gonna, I don't know, like run over your guitar or something. You know, that may or may not happen to me. Have happened to me. Like that's not cool. I'm so glad it wasn't on the news. Like, and some of these parents, we'll get into it after
sounds
the
personal.
Break.
But you.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
I'm James Babb. I'm with MK Lords. You know, we should mention that MK, you're in Florida. I am in I'm on the coast of Maine right now, and we are communicating to as part of Intergalactic Prairie Studios, bouncing our signal all around the world via Fiend Phone, making this type of program possible. So it's pretty cool.
Pretty awesome. I'm excited to be a part of it. Fiend Phone, it spoils me. It's hard for me to listen to other audio. It's just hard for me.
It does. Well, once we have publish Finnegan's Wake, that is just a loop, you will never have to listen to anything else.
That's right. Oh, man. Oh, gotta get cracking on that.
So
stay tuned.
Before the break, we were going through this list of junk you need to stop posting on Facebook. We had just gotten to teen shaming. So I think that's self-explanatory. Like, why would you abuse your child in that way? Just don't do it. Don't.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Like,
you know,
especially,
and it's probably fake
like teenagers.
Anyway.
It is probably fake. Or, you know, the person in question isn't some just, you know, regular dude who's teaching his son morals. He, like, could be a neo-Nazi or something. Like, literally,
right,
is referenced in this article.
Picture. Right. There's a picture of a guy from one of these teen shaming things. The no-nonsense dad is wearing a Nazi shirt and holding a can of Bud Light. Come on, man. You know.
It's not the beer of the superior race.
Right. I mean, right. He's abuses his kid. He's some kind of like horrible bigot. Drinks terrible beer. That's what I call a waste of human flesh. Just a
terrible
total,
person. Well, it's messed up because like, yeah, he's shaming his son for being a bully. It's like, well, I mean, what do you think your son's going to be? You're a neo-Nazi, like. I'm sure he's not really learning to, like, not be a bully.
I wonder where he learned to become a bully. The only thing that I would add to that, if it turned out that guy was also a cop, that would complete the picture.
Oh. Well, he's got slightly too much facial hair, it looks like, to be a cop. At least in the picture where he's wearing the swastika t-shirt and drinking the Bud Light. Because I think they're only allowed to have mustaches.
The porn stash. They're allowed to have a porn stash.
So. I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that said, "Guns don't kill people. People with mustaches kill people."
Is that the reason for the facial hair dress code in the police? Just because they're more likely to kill people if they're just wearing a mustache?
I'm not sure, but I feel like there's enough ambiguity with the bumper sticker that, like, I had my own meaning about it, but it was ambiguous enough to where, like, hopefully cops didn't immediately think it was referencing them. So.
Okay. All right. Good. So, yeah. Item number one on this list is one-sided accounts against organizations aren't news, it says. And I guess we sure do see a lot of this kind of stuff. These, like...
Oh, yeah.
And they're so lame. Like, even if it's a good issue, when it's so obviously biased and just so distorting of a story to put a particular spin to fill any agenda, even if it's an agenda that I might agree with, I get so annoyed at that kind of stuff getting out there and being passed around as journalism.
Oh, I hate that, too. Yeah, exactly what you said. Like, even if it's something I agree with, it's like, these are, like, personal people's lives, you know? It's not... Why do you gotta turn it into a political thing? It's awful. And they'll leave out any kind of details, you know? It'll be like, oh, you know, I mean, they put a headline on there, and then there will be barely any details, and sometimes there won't even be verification of... you know, the source or any other links that you can, you know, follow an actual news story to.
Right. I don't want to read anything that doesn't have, like, links in it that I can go to for more information. Just period. Like, and I see that kind of junk. It's like, it's a video of a perpetual motion machine in India. I didn't have time to actually verify it, but here it is.
Here it is.
Pass.
They don't want us to know.
Right. Well, obviously, there's no proof or, you know, because the government destroyed it all.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Talking about stuff you maybe should stop sharing on the internet. I don't like telling people what to do, like what they can and can't share, but there are some things that just like annoy me, you know? So.
Right. We always have the power to, you know, but I don't want to just like block entire people from my feed. I'm just, it's just a request, guys. Like, come on, you know?
Pause before you share, you know, just for a second, right. Just pause and be like, just think about it for a second.
Right. Do you really want to get behind that article on ancient aliens? You know, like, no,
yeah.
You don't put your reputation onto that one. Like,
don't
how about just no
it.
Stupid stuff? Okay, please.
Anything that has like the words they don't want you to know in it is probably useless, like,
right,
in all honesty. Anything from Gawker Media, if you have to share something from Gawker Media, do not link that thing, like do the do not link.com thing, seriously, because Gawker is the worst. And Gawker is not just the main, you know, it's not just the main Gawker site. I mean, Jezebel, you know, there's several other, you know, sites owned by the general Gawker Media, and you know, so okay, every now and then there's some interesting stuff on, you know, but most of the time it's like very outrage inducing. And
you know what somebody needs to invent is some kind of like Facebook filter. And I've seen things like advertised like this as like a extension for your browser that changes Facebook in some way. But you should be able to block any news source that annoys you like that. And you should also be able to block based on keywords. Like my things I would be blocking would be things like, you know, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, right? Like,
okay,
campaign.
Donald Trump's amusing, though. He's been amusing me lately.
Right. Right. So, but they'd have to be, maybe they're, you know, I'm not saying the algorithm has to be really advanced. If I get like really bored, I could like activate the Trump, you know? Okay, let the Trumps in.
Activate
for a second.
The Trump. Release the
let
Trumps.
Some Trump stories in. No, that's too many. No, too many. Okay. Go.
Put it back.
You know, or Rand Paul, or, you know, and, or these topics, the topics that come around where somebody's like, oh, it's a big topic, and it's all full of your feed, you know, and then you get all the second way. They're like, I can't believe you people are so busy posting about that thing. That's not important. If you're paying attention to that and not this, then you're the problem.
Oh, my God. You know? That is one of my least favorite things, too. Like, that's one of those things I can't stand seeing. And you know what? I'm going to call them out. Libertarians do this a lot when some stuff that's annoying them comes up. They're like, well, look at all the stories you missed while everyone was busy caring about this other stuff. It's like, you know, you can care about like multiple things at one time. Like, it's not a conspiracy to get you to care about like some crap on the internet. It's
right.
Just more inflammatory.
You've got in your phone this device that can give you access to any news source 24 hours a day, all basically the entire sum of human knowledge, you know, past and present, is at your fingertips, and you're gonna get all bent out of shape because you're seeing too many stories about, you know, Caitlyn Jenner or whatever it might be at the time, you know.
Yeah. I enjoyed some of the Caitlyn Jenner stuff. I didn't know much about her struggle, and you know, I learned some things, and good for her. So,
and you know, I could handle the story about her. Okay, that's not so bad. What annoyed me was everybody commenting about the story. About,
yeah,
you know, like,
I could do without the commentary.
It's just too many stupid opinions on something that doesn't even involve them. Like, and it has no relevance to their life whatsoever.
Yeah.
But now, are we doing what we just criticize other people for doing?
Maybe. Like, we might be falling into the trap. The outrage trap. It's so easy. It's so easy to fall in.
But instead of telling other people what they should be doing, I'm throwing this out as an idea for entrepreneurs to give me some kind of like sophisticated filtering interface that somehow Facebook doesn't know I'm using, but gives me a little bit more control over my feed somehow, right?
Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. I feel like this may already exist. I gotta look into it more, but
I tried one of them that it promised to help in all kinds of things, and it really just didn't work. So if there is something cool out there, let's find it.
Yeah. There, you know, people can share whatever they want to, but yeah, it might help to be more discerning. So.
And I guess I could always be a little more discerning about the people that end up in my, you know, quote unquote friends list.
Yeah. I just unfollow. I don't unfriend people. I've maybe unfriended a couple people, but I typically don't, like, even if we really disagree on stuff, I'll just like unfollow their stuff because I'm not interested in seeing it anymore. I've never blocked. Okay, I've blocked two people. One was a fake account and one was a cop. So, but I don't block people because I don't know. Like, I haven't really run into that many. I don't know. I've just never had to, I guess. Or I've never felt it was necessary because I don't know. I don't care if they're looking at my stuff. Or, I don't know. They might learn something. I don't know.
Right. I just want to have an interesting news feed, and you know, and like somebody not that long ago was like sent me this message. They're like, you're friends with this other person. Okay. First of all, they use the word friends. Like, no, I don't even know that person. Just because we're somehow affiliated on Facebook, like we shouldn't even use friends, right? But people think you must be real friends with that. And that person is bad because they said something or they're this. And I'm like, and they're like, if you know, anybody that doesn't defriend that person right away, I'm going to defriend. I'm like,
oh,
knock yourself out. You know, like right? If you look at my list of quote unquote friends, you know, you're going to find murderers. You're going to find politicians. You're going to find soldiers.
Murdering politicians.
You're going to find welfare whores. You're going to find racists. You're going to find, you know, also incredibly wonderful, awesome, fantastic people.
Yeah. But, I put everyone in the acquaintance category, but like mostly you can, there's a little drop down, like when you accept friend requests. I usually, if I haven't met them in person, or we haven't, you know, worked on something together, I just don't know them. And they just go in the acquaintance category. So,
right. There you go. And, you know, but this person that made this sort of demand to me, I was like, oh, hey, thank you for performing a morals audit on my friends list. Could you let me know anybody else that I shouldn't be friends with? Thank you.
Right. That's just such a weird thing to, like, try to shame you for your very tenuous associations with people, you know, like you don't know how, yeah, again, like how can someone judge how close you are with someone, you know, through Facebook, unless there's maybe a lot of interaction.
It's worse on Twitter, isn't it? Like, you use Twitter a lot. I don't really use it.
I love Twitter. No, I like Twitter better.
oh, Barack Obama is following me now. Like, don't you hear that kind of stuff a lot? Because people are like auto-following who gets followed, or I don't know how that works.
I mean, maybe, but I like the setup of Twitter better because no one's your friend. There's followers, and you can choose to follow back, or people can choose to follow you. It doesn't feel, at least to me, it doesn't feel like as much of a commitment. Like when I don't friend request people as much. Like I'll approve friend requests, but I don't really try to seek people out to like friend them. That's like, it feels like I'm imposing almost. Because I would never force my friendship on someone in real life, so I don't do it on Facebook. Like, I'll approve, like, you know, friend requests, but I don't typically try to seek people out. Like, if I've met them in person and it's like, let's connect on Facebook, then yeah. But it feels almost imposing, whereas Twitter, it doesn't have that kind of same feel. And I like Twitter, at least my feed on Twitter is a lot more diverse than it is on Facebook, and I like that. Like, I follow a lot of people I disagree with on Twitter. Because, again, like, it's not really like a, you don't think of it as a friendship. There are several people.
Yeah, I think that's much better. I guess that's just a more modern, you know, it's evolving and the terminology has changed to reflect something a little more accurate.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. And, you know, it's a slightly different platform. And I know people don't like the character limits and stuff, but I love the character limits. It prevents long status things from clogging up your feed and stuff, because, and I've written a lot of long statuses, you know, on Facebook about stuff sometimes, but I like Twitter a bit more. It's grown on me. I was hesitant at first. I didn't want it. I was like, nope, Facebook is enough. And it's like, even that, I gotta like unplug from. You know,
can you
from,
give
for,
out
for
your
while,
your
so.
Twitter address for those that want to follow you?
Yeah, I'm at MK Lords. So if you just look me up, MK Lords on Twitter. That's me. So.
And I am.
I'm more radical on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm creatively enough James C. Babb on Twitter, I think, or am I Jim Babb? I don't even remember. I have no idea.
I think you're James C. Babb.
I think I am too. So
I know your Twitter handle better.
Here's my Twitter handle. I think. I don't. Yeah.
Oh man. No, but yeah, I do like Twitter a bit more because of that. Yeah, it just seems like low pressure and just good stuff. Good stuff.
What are some other things that we could respectfully request that people not post?
You know, this isn't like news story stuff. This is more just like, it's probably not the best idea to put your personal, like drama out on the Facebook. And that kind of, I don't know, like fighting publicly with significant others and stuff. I don't see it, very much, but that's, I don't know, like that you may want to keep that private.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It comes
then,
across,
you know,
as scary.
We also recognize public shaming as, you know, one of the tools we have at self-regulating our community. So, but yeah, fights with your significant other, pass.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm talking more about that. But yeah, no, if there's some scheming and frauding going on, call it out. Let people know. Be honest about it, though.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Worms. Freedom Fiends. We're back for the last segment. And, yeah, we're talking about stuff that annoys us that
Give us some hope for our redemption, MK.
There is hope. There is hope in all of this, and the hope lies within yourself. You have the power to see a ridiculous headline from a news story that is not worth your time and realize that it's not worth your time and simply choose to not react and not press that little share button because you gotten all your jimmies have gotten all rustled up. So you just got to choose that you don't, you know, don't react to that stuff. It's specifically marketed in a way to rile you up and get you angry, and it's probably not well fact-checked, and, you know, it may just be a complete misrepresentation of what happened. So, pause when you feel that feeling, acknowledge that feeling, try to verify the story, or realize that it's just ridiculous in the first place, like some of these blog posts that people share. They're just trying to, you know, anger you. You don't gotta get
angry. And it's not just on social media. When you're watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, the History Channel, I don't care what it
Springer.
Is. Build up a little bit of armor. Let that stuff just bounce off and chuckle as it dissipates.
Well, it's all theater at the end of the day. And you know, this stuff started, this is way before the internet, you know, this kind of theatrical outrage over non-issues. So, yeah. It can make for good entertainment, don't get me wrong. I mean, it can be funny, but if you find yourself getting really angry or your heart rate's raising, you're getting all, like, flushed and stuff, then you're falling for it. You've fallen for the trap. You've taken the bait.
If you're like, Obama said what? Hillary Clinton did that? Rand Paul did, huh? Donald Trump said what? You know, forget it. It's not worth it. Just ignore them, laugh at them, because that's what they're for. They're there for our amusement.
Yes, be amused. Yeah, laugh instead of be angry. Yeah, because if you're angry, you're falling for it. You know, you're a mark basically. So
I'm going to whitehouse.gov or. I'm sorry, it's groveling.gov. I was going to put in a petition of my own.
Oh, what's your petition going to be on?
I don't know. Give me some ideas. Like, let's get involved in the system, right?
Like, I think we need a petition to stop petitions, to like make petitions illegal.
Or mandatory. What if we made petitions mandatory?
Ooh.
Yeah. Think of how many more people would be involved that way, right?
That's right. You just force involvement so people will have to care.
Yeah. I don't know. Nah, I'm going to pass. Sorry, groveling.gov.
Not groveling today. Grovel avoided.
You know, I already have my petition up for boat loan forgiveness. I'm just going to stick with that.
There you go. There you go. You know what? And that's a good cause. There are a lot of boats and a lot of people.
Crushing boat debt.
People who have crushing boat debt.
Do you know how expensive boats are? Whoa.
Very expensive. Yeah. You should be able to have your boat and not pay for it, too.
Right. Right. Because, you know, you thought that it was going to, you know, get you a good job. You thought it was going to allow you to, you know, be accepted in that country club. And then you weren't. And then they still didn't want to hire you. And then people still don't want to be your friend because you bought an expensive yacht.
And now you may have to live on the yacht, but that's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's just a floating house.
Maybe we should be able to trade in our liberal arts degrees for boats.
Right? Oh. Like,
you can't get your money back. I'm sorry, but here's a consolation boat. There you go.
For all of your hard work. I think you've solved the problem. Now that's a petition I can believe in.
You have a PhD in James Joyce. Nobody wants to be around you as a result. Have a consolation boat.
There you go.
with a complimentary full tank of gas. Your first tank of gas is free. Go.
That's a deal.
Head out to sea.
It's the American dream right there. Yeah. Oh man, what a great show.
Very good.
Thank you for your service, Jim.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.